Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It is our live edition of the program. We do it every single Wednesday. We hook you up at about 4 o'clock Central Time with real live ghost stories on our main Facebook page. Join us for that. If you're already here, welcome. The phone lines are open 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. We want to hear them.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and our phone number to call in live is 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us live on the air. We love doing this thing every single Wednesday afternoon. I've been looking forward to it all day long. So hopefully you got some good ghost stories for us as we begin to enter into the month of October here in, less than a week away from that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to start doing some more Halloween stuff, although still not quite to the age yet of taking the kids to the haunted houses. And, you know, the kind of the fun haunted houses, although they're kind of creepy and horrible now. And I mean horrible in a bad way. Not quite old enough, but I'm you know, we're getting there. We're getting there with at least one of them, if she wants to go, which is a whole other question in itself. Let's jump over to our first caller today and jump right into some ghost stories. Hi, caller at 412. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Connie.
Hi.
How are you today?
I am doing well. What's your name?
I'm Colleen.
Colleen, welcome to the show.
And I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, let's hear your ghost story, Colleen.
Okay, I have two really quick ones.
Okay.
The first one, it probably happened like last week.
Okay.
I was with my boyfriend, and he was driving, and we were on some back roads going back to his house. And the weirdest thing happened, it's kind of like a dip where you go down a little hill, but then you go up.
Okay.
And this other car was coming. But it was still way in the distance. We couldn't see it yet. And his headlights flashed across this ball of this mass of something. And it was the weirdest thing because I thought at first it was a deer running across the street. And I'm like, wait, that wasn't a deer?
Yeah.
Because it stayed there, like, floating. And then it disappeared. And he looked at me while he's driving and then another car. And we thought, oh, maybe it's the headlights. And I said, no, because it still was over the other hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't see it till now. And he's like, okay, you saw that too, right? I was like, yeah, I did. What was that? He's like, I have no idea. Because when I looked at it, it was circular. But it had, like, all these squiggly lines in it.
Then
it just disappeared.
Was it, one of the more common things we hear about are like orb type things. Do you think it was in that sort of a family?
I would say yes, but it wasn't like a perfect circle. It was very like jagged edges.
Okay.
And had like shapes inside. It was kind of smoky.
So it's hard then to know exactly what,
yeah.
I have no idea. Did you have another story you wanted to share with us this afternoon too?
Yeah, I have a really quick one.
Okay.
Back when I was in college, I had an apartment in town, and two strange things happened. The one strange thing was I was alone in my apartment one night just watching TV, and I got this, it got a little chillier, and what happened was I just had this, like, overwhelming sad feeling, like I was, like, the only person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brought me down. And at the time, my friend was going through a lot of other paranormal stuff, but that story's for another time. But I was getting close to making the decision to help him. And it was almost like the thing that was, like, haunting him, I'd say,
mm-hmm.
was, like, trying to scare me away.
I see.
It only happened the one night. And then I talked to my priest the next day, and he's like, just pray next time that happens. I know what's going on. And I'm like, all right, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there's no history of, you know, depression and things like that that kind of come on, you know, because, I mean, that can be a normal feeling for several folks where you just kind of have days like that, and that's completely normal. But if that's not your normal pattern of how you operate and how you function, and it's coincidentally right there around that same time, yeah, I agree. I think there might be something connected to that. Thanks for
it never happened again.
Well, that's good. That you don't have an attachment then. That's a positive thing right there.
Right. And the other this is really super quick, I swear. Goofy thing that happened there too was my roommate had a hermit crab. Well, she forgot about him over spring break, or it was one of the breaks. And she felt really terrible. You know, we got rid of him afterwards. But sporadically, we'd hear all this scratching noises, like, from her room of where he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of would joke around and think it was the hermit crab getting revenge on us.
The ghost of the hermit crab comes back. Yeah, I could see that being a possibility. Hey, if anything, it goes back to my argument of why are KFCs not completely haunted? You know, because there's all the chicken in there. But again, they didn't die there. So maybe there's a different argument there. Thanks for calling in and sharing those stories with us this afternoon. I really do appreciate it. Phone lines are open if you want to share your ghost stories with us. 216-446-7810. Please remember, as we always say at the beginning of the show, share this out wherever you can on your social media, onto other social media channels, whether it be Reddit or Facebook groups that you're a fan of. Let folks know that we're doing this thing live. It makes for a much better show. We have to, everybody really has to kind of participate in doing that a bit so we can let folks know that we are doing this thing live, because Facebook does not give us the algorithm anymore to feed it out to everybody who wants to know about it. So it takes a lot of liking and sharing to get this thing up and running far more than it used to when we were doing it live. It just used to go to all the people who wanted to hear it. Now it's like, maybe not, as I talk about that every week. And if you do share it, I give away a book every single week, autographed copy. I reach out to somebody who shared this on some platform, and I'll send it out to you. And we just kind of do it at the end of the episode, pick somebody, and then I'll reach out to you some way to get that out to you. So want in on that? Please do that. Also, another way to get a book is if you call in to the show today live, you have a chance at winning as well. One of the callers is going to be randomly picked to get a copy of the book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, in bookstores everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everything. You know, it's all out there. Just do a little search if you'd like to pick up a copy of it. Great reading for the month of October. 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to a caller and hear this. A little loud.
Yes, I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma. I've stayed in that small town and worked as a medic for a local ambulance service. I've seen a lot of weird things. I never really, you know, believed a whole lot in it. But I was working in the town over as a PRN, which is a part-time position with them. They were based out of an old church, and I had a partner that really, she was very superstitious, and she claimed that the area, the building, was haunted. Well, I stay up late, and I do a lot of reports and things like that, and she went to sleep, and there's also another crew there, and we rotate out calls. Well, one night I'm up late, she's went to bed, and the other crew is there, and they're asleep. One of them's on the couch, one of them's in the bedroom. The old church has an overlook where you could see the pews, or where the pews used to be, which is now a living room. I started hearing something upstairs. I went upstairs, I took my light, and I kind of glanced around. All I seen was just emptiness. I shut the door, you know, not thinking anything, maybe rats or something like that was up there. And all of a sudden, I hear a big thud. I go back up to investigate and still see nothing. I shut the door, I go to my room, and I try to finish typing the report and so forth and so on. At this point, the one that was asleep on the couch asked me if I had heard anything or anything like that. I, of course, lied and said no, I didn't hear anything. When we went back to that other room, because at this point I'm following him up and not really wanting to go look, but go ahead and do it anyways. We go back to the office area where I was at, and the door is wide open. I know I shut that door. I haven't worked in that service since that night. That was the last night that I worked there. I still get calls for them to ask me to come and work and things like that. But I refuse to go back there. Anyways, that's my story. Hope to hear it online. Thank you so much. I enjoy the show. I'll listen to it every day at work. Thank you.
It's funny, when we get calls from folks talking about their workplaces that are haunted, I always kind of have the mindset almost of, well, I don't blame you. I don't think I would go back to work either. But I don't know that I can honestly say that, because I look back at some of the places that I worked in radio, and some of the stations were pretty damn creepy. I mean, really, really damn creepy. One of them, my first one, had a part of the Underground Railroad in it, part of the tunneling system right down there, and you could tell exactly where it was and where it got bricked off on both ends. Had a lot of paranormal stuff going on in that building, hearing things, people walking in halls, keys change, keyboards being typed on, stuff I did not experience that others talked about were children in the hallways, sounds of laughing, also people seeing people go by, you know, like the little window on like an office door or a studio door, just all sorts of stuff. And I willingly, when this was going on, was really into it. I thought, this is awesome. I'm working a haunted office. So I don't know that I really would be like, I'm never going back there again. Just because I don't know that I honestly would be like that. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, and it was disturbing. But it's just kind of one of those things. I'm trying to I haven't, into my knowledge, worked in any other haunted radio stations that had stuff that I experienced. I shouldn't say that to my knowledge, because I did work at a couple places where other people had stuff going on. But me personally did not have any experiences. The last one, my very last station I'd worked at, a lot of people claimed they would see weird things, hear weird things. Only thing I ever had was the volume knob in our studio would sometimes just turn up very loud by itself. Not that the knob itself would turn, it's just digitally the board would, it would as if someone was turning it up, which was rather interesting. And Carol can talk about that too. She works at the same place to this day. All right, a little bit of business to take care of here before we continue on. ZipRecruiter, they've been a big supporter of our show for quite some time. We love them. And if you are in the position of hiring someone, whether you're the owner of a small business, or you are the hiring manager or the manager of something, trust me, if you want to find the right candidate quickly and not waste tons of time, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Go there. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Okay, they send you to your job out to over 100 websites, the web's leading job boards. But they don't just stop there and then say, okay, good luck, here comes an influx of resumes. No, their powerful matching technology at ZipRecruiter, it scans through those responses and the resumes and finds the people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Applications come in. ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Results like that, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. Exclusive web address for you guys. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's go over to a caller at 508. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, Tony. This is Matt. How you doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, hey, Matt. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
All right. Well,
I was the one that called in the EVP a long time ago, and then Jenny said it was just a noise.
She just dismissed it like, that's bullshit. No. EVPs are hard. You know, I'm horrible at them as well.
Yeah, it was the whole reference to Richard in Chattanooga and then another similar EVP in the background. But it took a long time to get the nerd to call in this story, but I figured I'd share after
Great.
Everyone else.
Well, welcome. Let's hear it.
All right. Well, it happened about 6 years ago. A lot of places on Cape Cod where I'm located are very old, especially in some of the historic districts. And at the time, I had a girlfriend who had a parent that moved into a new house that was built roughly early 1900s. And I'm talking like, you know, Silence of the Lambs style stone basement, everything like that. It was very, very old. And the layout is when you walk in, straight ahead of you, wide open kitchen to the left, hallway straight ahead with an open living room where the hallway that went straight ahead kind of banked like an L to the right with rooms surrounding it. So when you walk in, you can see the living room, the hallway, and the kitchen. And she shows me around. It takes about 4 minutes to go through the house, and it's got beautiful wood floors, all original walls. And we get to the stairs. Now, these stairs entrance are covered by a very thick, old-style wooden door. And when you look at it, the first thing, I'm not a sensitive, I'm not attracted, I'm too scared to be attached by anything to go ghost hunting. But the second I walked up to that door, like a big red stop sign just hit me in my subconscious, like you're just thinking to yourself, oh wow, bad idea. Just as simple as like, you know, you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't steal this, it's a bad idea, you know, candy bar, whatever. It's the same kind of premonition the second you look at that door. And I go to her, I go, I don't want to go up there. And she's like laughing. She's like, why not? Really? You have a bad feeling too? And I go, too. And she's like, come on, come on. And I'm, you know, 5 minutes of coaxing, I decide, F it, I'll go up there. Hashtag worst decision ever. Might as well play with the Ouija board.
Might as well.
The second I go up those stairs, it feels like I just climbed up a mountain. It felt like I was in the clouds. I mean, the air was so thick, kind of not so much of a cold, but like if you got hit by wet moisture, it was hard to breathe. You get all of this stuff, and right in my eyes, I thought I saw something off to the left, and I look around the corner, I go, I could have sworn I saw a shadow about the size of a little girl, and she's like freaking out, gets me out of there, and she goes, a long time ago, a family had an older grandfather died from tuberculosis, and so did a daughter. And for about 3 weeks after leaving that house, I had nightmares of a girl, you know, kind of almost similar to what everyone would think. You know, you have a nightmare, I'm sitting on my couch, off to the left, I see something like almost like defy gravity and just crawl on the wall, and you freak out, you wake up. We spent some time later on in the couple months later in the house of hers because we had to watch it for her parents. We're sitting in the living room now where that door is off to the left. periodically we would hear maybe sounded like maybe a cat walking upstairs. We run up, nothing's there, constant little, just right out of the peripheral of your eyes you would see shadows. Everything, all the way from just watching TV, you go outside, have a cigarette, come back inside, the TV's off. I'm like, you have a timer on this? She goes, no. I go off, I look at it, sit back down, start hitting the power with the remote. Nothing's working. You go up to the TV, find out it's unplugged. I didn't spend another day in that house afterwards. It really would mess with someone. It was probably one of the scariest situations I've probably ever been through. It was one of the creepiest houses I've ever been in.
And I can totally understand why. I mean, that sounds like it was kind of a nightmarish situation there.
It was pretty much the second I saw that door and thought to myself, I mean, it was screaming at me, stop sign, just don't go up there. Second I did, it was a nightmare from that. And I guess the message from this story I took off from there is, if you ever have that little premonition or that little thought, hey, not a good idea, you know, you're in a haunted place, just because everyone knows it, feel like you're being looked at, you feel like you're being, like, someone's behind you, and those little voices in your head, you know, might as well just play with the Ouija board if you take those kind of chances, because you never know what you're going to get into. And oh, I appreciate everything you've done for this, but this show has been awesome, Tony. I really, really do.
No, thank you for calling in and sharing another story with us. Really, really do appreciate that. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey, you too, Tony. Thanks, everyone.
All right, thank you. Phone number 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us. During that last call, I think a ghost messed with our camera over here, because all of a sudden my screen just completely went black, and I had to restart the Facebook feed. So I apologize if we were down for a couple of seconds there. Try to avoid that as much as possible by having the latest everything on here, but you still can't win sometimes, so... 216-446-7810, our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller at 479. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Chrissy. I'm calling from Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Ah, not far away, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Is Halloween in full swing down there? Are all the Halloween decor out around the town?
It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming quick.
I really want to get down there. I want to get down there in the next handful of weeks at some point. I don't know if I'm going to, though, to see Halloween there live and in person. But we got a pretty busy month coming up. But even just maybe I should just drive down just for the morning and walk around and then come back. It'll take, you know, 2 hours.
You should check out the zombie parade. It's I think it's on the 28th this month, and it's insane. It's awesome.
Like, do they go down like all the roads, the people zombies, or what do they do exactly?
Yeah, basically it starts up by the old library, mm-hmm. and then it goes through town, and I mean, everyone's welcome. Half the time there's more zombies than there are spectators, but people go all out. There's floats. It's creepy. It's awesome.
Oh, I gotta check that out. That would be awesome. All right, well, let's hear your story this afternoon.
Okay, well, I actually have two quick stories that involve traveling.
Okay.
So my friend and I were driving back from California here. We had made a couple of stops. Our last stop was in this little town in Texas, and they had kind of like a themed hotel. It was like larger than life, like Texas is. And when we first get in the room, I kind of got a weird feeling, but I was like, okay, this is kind of hokey, Texas, whatever, you know, so maybe that's it. So we went out, and we came back later that night, and we're going to sleep, and I felt like there was someone standing over the bed. Like, I felt a presence there, and I know I freak myself out sometimes, so I opened my eyes real quick. There was nobody there. So, okay, so I close my eyes, and I still feel like it's standing there. And I'm like, okay, you're just freaking yourself out. Just, like, ignore it. Go to bed. You know, and then it kind of felt like someone sat down at the corner of the bed, and I was like, nope, we're not doing this. Just go to sleep. So I forced myself to go to sleep, and the next morning, my friend tells me, she's like, I had the weirdest things going on in my head last night. Like, I saw this older man with a big cowboy hat, and he was standing over your bed, and I could see him in my mind, like, the thoughts that he was having and what he looked like, and he came around and he sat on the corner of your bed. And that freaked me out totally, because I was like, yeah, didn't want to scare you last night, but I felt the same thing. I just didn't see anything. So we were both kind of creeped out by that and, you know, whatever. But the next story I have, I was actually visiting my mom. She lives in Michigan. And the whole trip was pretty inconsequential. You know, I was there for 6 nights. Fifth night, fine. Sixth night, I'm lying in bed. And it just so happens the guy who used to own the house murdered the neighbor across the street. So I didn't really think much of that or whatever. I'm pretty sure he's still alive in prison. But the last night, in my mind, I could see like a man grinning, and it was really sinister. And I didn't know why I was seeing this, and I was trying to like get it out of my head, basically. And I'm just starting to drift off to sleep, and I feel basically all I can describe is if like someone's on their belly at the end of the bed, grabbing your legs, trying to pull themselves up towards you, but it was fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously I was super freaked out, you know, I'm like, okay, maybe this is just in my head. So I start to go back to sleep, and happens again, and then happens again. And so it happened probably 6 times over the course of the night, to the point where I was screaming at whatever it was, just leave me the fuck alone. And I slept with the lights on. I got maybe an hour of sleep. And so the next morning I asked my mom if she had ever had any experiences like this. And she said, no, everyone's just totally normal. So I don't really know what to say about that, but it did happen one time, just recently, about a month ago, at my house in Eureka Springs. Same sensation of somebody pulling themselves up the bed, like with my legs. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was really freaky.
What do you make of that? I mean, what do you, when you're trying to process it, especially in your own home, what are you thinking it is?
You know, I thought maybe what I was seeing was this guy who had murdered, you know, the neighbor. But when it happened in my house, I have no idea. But that's one of the creepiest things that has happened to me, because it just felt unnatural. I could feel the hands grabbing my legs as it like went up my legs. I have no idea.
And the thing is, there any place in Eureka Springs that is not haunted? I mean, that's kind of the other question.
Not that I'm aware of.
It's like everywhere you go. Anyway, I love how they everybody there lives that up and really, really plays that up. All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. We did get to Eureka Springs this summer. Did you know that? Did I talk about that on the air? I don't remember if I did or not. But we,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. We came down. We did not stay at the Crescent or anything. That was off limits. But we did get to have brunch. We got to have brunch there. Jenny said, "Okay, I will go through these doors with you to have an omelet." And so we did. We went in there, and we actually had something happen to us while we were at the Crescent Hotel. And I, when it happened, I didn't really know what to make of it. We were paying the bill. And we were sitting in the big ballroom, and it was their like Sunday brunch buffet thing. And they take the credit card to go take it up to the bar, and the bar's right in front of us, like just directly in front of us. And I see they set it down on the bar with a little folder with the envelope. And the guy goes to reach for my credit card, and the credit card literally like projects itself off the bar and towards the buffet. It wasn't like, you know, like you opened the, you know, the thing too hard and it, or you closed it too hard and it kind of blew out. He was opening it, just gently opening it to take the credit card out. And as he opened it, it just boom. It wasn't just like, oh, it kind of slid out of the envelope and then it you know, landed on the bar. It flew. It flew across that room. It's like, how the hell did my credit card end over in the crepe station?
Yeah,
but it did.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, it was like, hey, if that's all that's going to happen, I'm good. And then Jenna was like, well, yeah. Now there's something attached to your credit card. Isn't that lovely? I'm like, oh, great. It was good. It was a fun time. Well, thanks for calling in. Always love hearing from you down there in Eureka Springs. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care. Phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. Would love to hear from you this afternoon as we do our live episode of the program. Call in and share your ghost stories. This is the opportunity of the week where we can actually do it one-on-one. We can discuss it and have a full conversation. about what's going on. If you have any questions or you want to comment on something else that we've talked about on the show, feel free to do that as well. We would we'd absolutely love to hear from you. Big hello to everybody who's saying hi on Facebook, on YouTube. We stream this out on both channels these days. So we really do appreciate you tuning in. Matt says, Ghost saying, you deserve a free breakfast. I don't think I can get a free breakfast out of that. It'd be kind of like, I'm too scared to get up. Can I have a free breakfast because the ghost threw my credit card across the dining room? Yeah. I wonder how often that occurs in a haunted hotel, and especially one that recognizes it, that recognizes we have stuff going on here. That one does. There's signs all over the lobby. It's a ghost tours, and here's our ghost guy, and here's all of that. How often do you have someone that goes to the front desk who's maybe not super aware of that stuff when they get there, or maybe they've heard of it, but they think it's not going to happen to me, and they have something happen that they have to go to the front desk, and the front desk and the hotel actually has to say, okay, we'll give you a refund because you had such an uncomfortable experience. I don't know. I know at that hotel, when I interviewed the gentleman who handles our ghost tours, he was saying there's not a whole lot there that seems really dark or evil or menacing at all or malevolent. More so, it's just kind of like people hanging out and kind of being a bit mischievous. But I could see some other hotels. I know there are some hotels where it's like, we just don't use this room anymore because we're sick of giving refunds. Maybe that's the case. I don't know if there's any rooms like that at the Crescent. It's been a while since I talked to him, but I should ask that next time I'm there. Again, phone lines are up in 216-446-7810. Share your real ghost story with us. Would love to hear it. Let's go over to this caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenna again. I thought I'd tell you about something my brother-in-law told me, and it kind of intertwined with one of my experiences. But he said one day, him and his brother were driving around in a cemetery for some odd reason at night, and he got to where the older tombstones are, but from the 1800s or so. There's some really old ones there. And he says all of a sudden, the radio they were listening to started speaking really weird and all that. And they said they got so scared, they spooked and they just went on out, which if they had told the truth, I would too. So I took it with a hint of whatever, but there's this, and this happened to my husband-to-be at the time, and me. The place we work is open 24/7, all except for they close on Christmas Eve and are all closed all Christmas Day. And any other time, they're open. And we decided every year to drive by and just to see, wow, this place is closed. How weird can it be? Even the gas station is closed. And then he decided to take me down where he grew up in Enon, Ohio. And there's a house that I was fascinated to see. And he goes, you want to go back and see your house? And I knew what he was talking about. I said, yeah, cool, why not? The reason I like this house is because it is built to where you can only see the windows out of the ground. The roof is slanted upward, and they have to mow their roof every year because the rest of the house is underground, which he was taking me there, and I thought that was so cool. But as we was there, he drove by the corner, and he's just, oh, there, I don't know if you remember, there's that old graveyard there. And I'm like, oh, it really is old. So we drove on down, let's get ready to go see that house. All of a sudden, we had a cassette playing in our radio, and it started going nuts. And it started acting like it felt like it was going backwards, talking backwards and everything. And then I said, Patrick, you got to pull over. I'm going to get sick. And he goes, you're okay? And I said, I don't know, I just feel funny. And yeah, he pulled over, and of course, I did get sick. But I felt just fine before that. But when I went by that graveyard, that's what happened. I don't know if I sensed something or whatever. But when that tape went up weird, I'm like, let's get out of here. And I looked. It wasn't no 3 in the morning like usual. It was 12:01, you know, when the bewitching hour is supposed to call. And the real haunting starts at 3 o'clock, I've been told. Well, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I've got another story about where I work out, and I'll try that later, so not to bore you too much. You guys have fun. I enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. I know you're a regular listener to the program and a regular caller. We do appreciate your time telling your stories. My goodness, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the new generations will never be able to appreciate the joys of cassette tapes and how they could get warped very easily. But just there's an uneasy sound to a tape that's an unsettling sound to a tape that's kind of getting warped or sounding odd, which makes the setting of a graveyard all the more unsettling. And I think it might be a case of one of those things where they know what to manipulate and they know what's going to make you feel unsettled. Sometimes it's just about making someone feel uncomfortable. And if that cassette tape is what would help do that and set that mood, that's probably exactly why they did it. When I make haunted house commercials these days for radio and for television, one of my favorite things to do is just take a regular piece of music that's made for commercial use and mess with it. Something that may, especially something that sounds maybe peaceful or calming or supposed to be joyful and happy. And if you just change the pitch or you mess with the pitch and kind of make it a little wavy, which simulate what it would have been like to stretch out a reel tape or a cassette tape or warp it in some way, shape, or form back in the day. Just gives it that nice, uneasy sound. Same with like a bad record too. If the pitch is kind of off and it's not quite right, it's just something that makes it really spooky. I love that. I love making stuff that's spooky. That's why I do what I do. That's why I do shows about ghosts. And then the other part of the year, I love making haunted house radio commercials and TV commercials, which, by the way, let's talk about that for just 1 second. If you're in that world of haunted house, haunted haunts, haunted attractions, and there's so many of that stuff now, escape rooms, all that, and you like this show and you want some of that stuff for your haunt, here's my quick little plug. Check out my site, hauntedhouseradiocommercials.com, and you can see examples of what I'm talking about with some of the work that I've done for haunts all around the country. We make some of the commercials for some of the biggest haunts in the country. And I'm actually going to go to their seminar this year. For the first time, there's a haunted house seminar or a convention in St. Louis in spring. And I decided, you know what? I should probably go and get out of the house at some point. So I'm going to go to that this year. And I'm going to have a booth and it's for the commercials and show some of that stuff. So it should be kind of fun. And maybe I'll even do an episode of the show out there when we're there. I'm still not quite sure. It's several months out, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to maybe do that. Phone lines are up in 216-446-7810 if you want to share your real ghost story with us live today. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony. My name is Danny, and I live in Maryland. And I thought while I had the courage, I would give you a call and share with your readers two interesting events that happened to me surrounding loved ones passing. When I was about 20 years old, my uncle was had a very quick and sudden battle with skin cancer, and he unfortunately quickly passed away within about a month or two of diagnosis. And we all went up to his funeral. I got to see cousins that I hadn't seen in a very long time. While my uncle and my father were very close, they lived far away. So unfortunately, I didn't have much chance to get to know this uncle as well as I would like. But it was interesting because when we were all at the funeral, the cousins were talking and saying, oh, we should all keep in touch. And way before Facebook and email and everything, when we had to just do addresses and the phone, I got everybody's phone number and addresses and said I would type it up and then print it out for everybody to have each other's contact information. So I go into my uncle's house after my cousin tells me where the computer is, because I turn on the computer, and on the desktop, it says there's, you know, a few icons there, and not too many, but on the desktop is a folder that says letter to Danielle, which is me. Now, I probably shouldn't have clicked on it. Maybe it was a personal something, but I felt like I was on autopilot, so I double-clicked the icon, and sure enough, it was a letter to me out of nowhere. It was this letter to me that was telling me about his life. Now, as much as I loved my uncle, we weren't particularly close, and we didn't have much in the sense of, you know, in the sense of communicating. And for whatever reason, to write to me about his experiences growing up, and he had never sent a letter. But for some reason, it was so strange that of everything, and out of anybody, I would be the one to find the letter on this computer, that what are the chances I would ever sit down at? Anyway, that was one of the most amazing stories. But the other story is very personal to me. My father, in 2016, was, after a brief battle, it was determined that he should go into hospice. And so we heard he was going into hospice about 10 o'clock the night before this story. And so I had made arrangements to fly down to see him and to help my mom out. I made the arrangements at, like, you know, 11:30 at night or whatever, and was in and out of sleep when I couldn't really sleep very well, but I know that the first dream, and I feel like I actually fell into a deep enough sleep to dream. I was in this apartment, an apartment I never saw before, and I was with my husband, and my father walks into the room, and I can't even tell you how amazing he looked. He looked like, he just looked like maybe he was in his 40s. You know, at the time he was in his 70s, but he looked like he was in his 40s, and he looked so young and so peaceful, and he was just smiling so wide, and he was carrying an end table, and which I don't know if my mind wanted to show me how strong he was, but he was carrying an end table, and then he walked into another room, and I followed after him with my husband in the dream, and I saw that a luggage was open on the bed, and I said to him, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, I'm packing to die. And I said, I still get chills. And I said, are you excited to see your mom and your dad and your brother? And he's like, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes, which is exactly what my New Yorker father always said. But it was the most peaceful, most amazing dream, because fast forward 24 hours, and I'm standing by the bedside and self with my father, and he is dying. And he took his last breath, and I was the last one to be there, the only one who was still there at that exact moment. And it was something like that normally probably would have wrecked me. But I had this moment in that dream with him that felt so real, that it was almost this amazing chance to say goodbye. And I swear that will stay with me forever. So it's not exactly a ghost story, but it was something that I still can't explain. So again, thank you so much for doing what you do and having this podcast for all of us to share stories.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us on the program. When it comes to stuff like that, where there's a dream that brings us some solace, some peace, in some direction, in a very difficult time, you have to wonder, is it the loved one that's able to direct that, that is directing that dream, that's giving that story of We'll have to see what happens. And that personality that comes out so bright and clear. Or is it something else? Is it something else that's there, that's, call it God, call it whatever you'd like, that is there, that is trying to prepare us for the inevitable. So we're able to grieve and we're able to handle the difficult situation in a much, just like you said, a much more calm way, in a way where you didn't lose it. You didn't, just completely break down. You have to wonder where's the source of that coming from? Because I'm sure if it was your father and he had the ability to do that, I would certainly do that for my loved ones if I was in that case, and I think most would. But who's making the call there of it? Who's doing that? Who's giving you those feelings? Renee says, made 3 bacon strips, left kitchen to open the door, and found 1 bacon strip missing. Should I blame the ghost or the cat? No, it's kind of up in the air. Matt says, if it was a ghost, I'd snag that bacon. Matt also says, Tony, what's your costume going to be this Halloween? I don't even know. It all depends. I love to do, the good, creepy zombie thing. But, we got really little ones. And when we go trick-or-treating, we don't just go in our neighborhood. We go out to an area here in town where there's a lot of trick-or-treating going on. And there's a lot of little ones. So I don't want to, scare the hell out of them. I think I'm going to save more of the zombie stuff again till they're both a little bit older and maybe the trick-or-treating is done and we do kind of more party-ish stuff that might be slightly more more appropriate, I guess. The thing is, a couple of years ago, I would have been like, hell yeah, let's do a zombie makeup. I don't care. But now, I've gone through the process of being a parent and having little ones. And you kind of go, oh, you shouldn't dress like a blood-sucking zombie with an ear falling off and a golf ball lodged in the side of your head around children. That might be disturbing to some of them. But I guess it's a lesson learned, as we all learn lessons, right? All right, I think that's going to wrap up our live edition of Real Ghost Stories Online for today. Vane says, be a Ghostbuster. I was a Ghostbuster for Halloween. Gosh, it would have been, 1989-ish. My mom, sewed the costume and everything, got the pattern from, Joanne Fabrics or something. And that was what I was way back in the day. One of my favorite... one of my favorite costumes, I think. I wore the big plastic backpack, the proton pack. It was fun. I don't think it would fit anymore, though. So there you go. All right, you guys, thank you for listening. And if you're not an EPP yet, you want to support our show, keep us on the air, go to our website at ghostpodcast.com, and you will get yourself every bonus episode of the show. EPP for this week is posted right now. About a really creepy haunted house. Great, great stories in there. Advanced episodes of the show, as we make them, they go there. All sorts of bonuses for you. Ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air.